Number 16, while they're coming down, Luke chapter number 16. Let me encourage you to follow along this morning, as this will be a blessing to you at some point. It's good. I don't know how God will use it this morning, but I'm asking him to help us this morning. Maybe there's a father in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray that by the end of this service, you'll know him. I pray for a mama who come in because it's Father's Day, who doesn't know Jesus. I pray that by the end of this service, you'll know him. Luke chapter number 16, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, if you're not, all right, look on with your neighbor. Or look up on the screens. We're going to look at verse number 19. We'll begin reading there. A familiar passage of scripture I haven't preached out of in quite a while. But we do know the story. And this is not a parable. And I was reading this morning or yesterday, and somebody was saying that this was a parable. This is not a parable.
Amen.
Right? There's nowhere in scripture that Jesus uses a parable with names. So when he named Lazarus as a participant, he was actually talking about somebody, an actual event. And he said a certain rich man, not just a rich man. You go in every parable, if he's talking about a rich man, he just calls him a rich man. But in this scripture, he says it's a certain rich man. And we also have the name of Lazarus, all right? So before we even get started this morning, I want everybody to understand something. This is not a parable. This is an actual story, an event that happened in time that Jesus is giving us a glimpse of. Now, this world today will try to tell you that hell does not exist. I need somebody. This is the biggest argument that they have for hell not existing.
That's right.
Because we have an actual story where Jesus tells us that this man was in torments and he was in a flame, all right? And they'll say that hell doesn't exist, and then they'll use this by saying this was nothing more than a parable, which was Jesus paralleling a story, and he was trying to show a truth. This is not. This is an actual event that took place. And you can try to put away hell all you want to, and you can try to say that it doesn't exist all you want to. But when you study out the teachings of Jesus Christ, what you will find is that he spoke on hell more than he spoke on heaven.
Amen.
We have better descriptions of hell than what we do of heaven.
Amen.
We have more descriptions of hell than what we do of heaven. And so Jesus was adamant about not going to this place. I think we ought to be. Is everybody all right? The Bible says, let's start reading in verse number 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. As you can see, we have a very different contrast, a very big contrast between two men. We're going to call this morning a tale of two men. We have a very different contrast, very huge contrast between the two of these. Just for a few moments, I want you to think about it. Lazarus, here the Bible says, was a beggar. It means he had nothing. He had nothing. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
He had nothing. The Bible says that he was laid at the feet or at the gate of this rich man. All right? When you study that out, it literally means, and I don't want to get too much into this because we'll get into the service or into preaching, but this word laid means that he was cast aside.
Right.
He was discarded. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
we have the idea and the picture in our head because we think that you're supposed to treat every handicapped individual with respect and supposed to treat them kindly and we're supposed to treat them gently. But this was not the case with Lazarus. When we read this and we see he was laid somewhere, it doesn't mean that he was gently put down. It means that nobody wanted to have anything to do with him.
That's right.
He was cast out. He was left as if he was nothing. Everybody with me?
Amen.
Thrown out, discarded, if you will, like trash. This was Lazarus. The Bible says that Lazarus desired just to eat the crumbs that fell from this rich man's table. Lazarus wasn't asking for a plate. He wasn't asking for a seat at the table. He wasn't asking for a roll or some little other something that you could throw to one of the dogs. What Lazarus was literally doing was begging just for the crumbs that by chance fell. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Not something. He didn't ask for a gift. All he wanted was what they neglected.
That's right.
What they, what was left over after their meal, the crumbs. That's it. And then we have the story of a rich man. The Bible tells us that he fared sumptuously every day. In other words, he never went without.
Amen.
There was never a time that this man was not fed. There was never a time that he didn't eat of the choicest of meals. He fared sumptuously. Means that he had plenty. Means that he had more than enough. It meant that all the food that he ate, I need somebody to help me right here. If we could compare it this way, my man Lazarus was eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and the rich man was eating all the fine foods that you could imagine, a filet. I need somebody to help me. Maybe some lobster, definitely some shrimp from Osteen's right there. Amen. I mean... all these, he was eating, his life, listen to me, seemed to be perfect. Come on, we know the story. That's why you're shaking your head at me. But yet, most of the people that sit in our churches today is chasing the lifestyle of the rich man. We sit there and shake our head, oh no, he ain't, his life isn't perfect, but you sure would like to have it. Oh, preacher, now that's not fair. We just want to live good. I need somebody to help me. Do you realize, can I say this and not make anybody mad? Do you realize that you and I could very well be summed up today if you was to go back in this story and we were to put ourselves in this story, we wouldn't be the one sitting by the gate. I need somebody to help me. We wouldn't be the ones sitting by the gate begging for crumbs.
Amen.
I need somebody to help me. I ate good last night. We drove down. I ain't going to tell y'all where because y'all end up going. Every time I mention a restaurant, y'all end up going there. And then y'all ruin my restaurant, my peace, where I can just go and not see any of y'all. But I will tell you, I drove out of town. I didn't drive. Somebody else drove. And I'm not going to tell you who did because you'll go ask him where we went to eat. But we got there, and it's a sushi place. They have this roll, Miss Melissa, called the yo-yo roll. And it's like, I need somebody to help me right here. It is heaven in your mouth. Is everybody all right? Is y'all okay? I ate this thing. Listen here, it ain't raw. This bad boy right here is fried, deep fried.
Amen.
I'm not even sure that you could label it as sushi, but whatever it is really good, all right? And I got me a sesame chicken with that thing. I couldn't eat all of it. Everybody all right? We do not, we're not Lazarus in the story.
Amen.
If anybody we'd all relate to the rich man who fared sumptuously every day, who had enough to eat and more. Is everybody with me? A tale of two men. We see them right at the beginning. The Bible says these two men died. Verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Do you already notice just a little bit of a contrast here? Lazarus, the beggar, he dies, and the Bible says he was carried by the angels. The Bible says the rich man died. He also died. And the Bible says he was buried. Now listen, Lazarus, being a beggar, having nothing, being trash, he would have just been thrown out there. I think they had a place where they just throw them in. Basically, they throw them in with the trash and let them burn. The Bible contrasts this with a rich man having plenty of money, Jesse, enough money that his family could bury him. Everybody all right? But then the story changes even more. Verse number 23. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. Lazarus carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. The rich man dies, and in hell, he lift up his eyes. Being in, y'all help me with the word, torments. And he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse number 24, it says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am, say it with me, tormented in this flame. Now does that, I need somebody to help me. This man is literally, now Jesse, Lazarus was begging for a crumb.
That's right.
On this side of the dirt.
That's right.
The certain rich man, Dalton, who fared sumptuously, was begging for essentially a crumb, a drop of water from the tip of Lazarus' finger.
Amen.
I want you to think about that. I need somebody to help me right here. If I'm there, I'm asking for more than a drop of water off the tip of the finger. I'd be like, hey, Lazarus, how about bringing me a gallon of water? Something. I need somebody to help me. But in my mind, I'm not thinking of a drop of water. This man who once had it all is now the beggar. And the one that was begging now has it all. What a contrast between us and a layer of dirt. Oh, I need somebody to help me. He said he was tormented in the flame. So he wasn't just hanging out waiting on somebody to pray him on in. He wasn't just hanging out because ain't nothing to this life and afterwards we really don't go anywhere. The Bible says the man died. He also died and was buried and in hell. It was an immediate. And in hell he lift up his eyes. Being in torments. The Bible tells us he's tormented by the flame. Has everybody got that? Everybody got it? How many of y'all got a red letter Bible? How many of you notice what color all these letters are in? The Bible says, man, it sure would be a shame for us to get to heaven and say, I didn't believe what you said about hell. The Bible says, verse number 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Abram said, there's a gulf between us. We can't come to you. And y'all notice the gulf was fixed. We can't come to you. You can't come to us. I say, preacher, is that the way it is now? No, it's not. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus died. And when he died, he went into the center of the earth, according to the Bible. For 3 days he was down there and he led captivity captive. So what Jesus did was he went into this place that we read about in Luke chapter number 16. And he pulled out Father Abraham and Lazarus and all the Old Testament saints. And they came out of there, and the Bible says this, hell hath enlarged herself. Now the Bible teaches us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the... I'm going to say it again. The Bible teaches us to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no soul sleep. There's no purgatory. When you die, you're either in the presence of the Lord or as a rich man, you will open up your eyes in hell. We don't like this kind of preaching in this day and time. We don't like, we want tolerance. What we want is everybody to tolerate us. I need somebody to help me. We're not really after tolerance. We just want everybody to tolerate us. And we think that that same mentality is going to work with God when we get there, and we're going to tell God that he needs to accept us for who we are, what we say we are. My fear for a lot of Christians today is that you're going to wind up standing before God and you're going to get the answer that he gave in Matthew chapter number 7 when he said, depart from me, for I never knew you. You say, but Lord, I cried out and said, Lord, Lord, I did many works. I did all this. I worked a ministry. I did this. I did that. I did all these things in your name. The Bible says Jesus said he's going to look on him and say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Is everybody with me? You workers of iniquity. That's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 7. So as we look at a tale of two men, I want you to notice a couple of things. First off, I want you to notice, Michelle, help me out. What was number one under Lazarus? His rejection. As I've already mentioned, the Bible tells us that when he was laid by the gate, this means that he was literally cast aside. We see that this man was laid by the gate and he was begging for crumbs, but we never see one instant where Lazarus got anything from the rich man. In other words, this rich man, he probably looked at Lazarus as a nuisance. Those that was in Lazarus' life, those that were in his family, they looked at him as a nuisance, and that's why they cast him out. So on this side of the dirt, I need everybody to listen now. On this side of the dirt, this man was rejected. Do you know what Lazarus's name means? His name, Lazarus' name literally means whom God helps. Amen. That's what the word Lazarus means. Whom God helps. But in this life, it didn't look like Lazarus was getting any help. In this life, it didn't look like God really cared very much about Lazarus. In this life, if you would have looked at him and you would have seen him, you would have looked at him with the same disdain that you have for those people that stand on the side of the road with a sign begging for some money because they're homeless. I need somebody to help me. And Lord help, they show up at your gate. Lord help, they show up at your house. Lord help every day that they sat outside your door. This was a rejected man on this earth. He was unwanted. He was undesired. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. Matter of fact, if you and I was picking out a life for our children, we would not want our children to be like Lazarus.
That's right.
Lazarus' name means whom God helps. Amen. And though you and I might not be able to see it, and though the rich man wasn't able to see it, God, I need somebody to help me right here. God knew exactly where Lazarus was. Amen. And Lazarus would get his help.
That's right.
He was a rejected man. I want you to notice with me, but Lazarus, I want you see his rejection, but we see his reputation. I don't know if you notice this, but the rich man, He died. The Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes. He looked across the great gulf and he sees Father Abraham. And he sees in the bosom of Father Abraham,
amen,
Lazarus. I need somebody to help me.
Come on.
His reputation. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Just a drop of water will cool my tongue. Lazarus, undoubtedly laying at a gate full of sores, the dogs coming and licking on it, rejected by the world, rejected by the rich man, rejected by everybody else, but he had a reputation as one that would help you.
That's right.
Amen.
And the rich man said, send him. He can just dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Everybody all right?
Amen.
This was a reputation that the man had. I'm getting some huge feedback right in this area. Just a drop of water. His reputation. What kind of reputation do you have today? Oh, you might not be fair and sumptuously. You might not see yourself as a rich man, but what kind of reputation do you have today? Is everybody all right? I'll move on quickly. I want you to notice his reception. We're talking about Lazarus. I want you to notice his reception. He was received. He was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. Is everybody with me? This man that had been rejected, this man that had been discarded, this man that had been thrown to the side, this man that was nothing but garbage to the world, this man full of sores, this man that the dogs would just come and lick on the sores of him, this man that was begging for just a crumb that fell from the table, had nothing.
That's right.
He's carried by the angels.
Yes.
He's carried by that. I need somebody to help me. He's received by the angels. Received by Abraham. Now let's, we tell the two men, stay with me. Because the rich man's life is completely different.
That's right.
Because we see there was a certain rich man. There was a certain rich man, so we notice first off his riches. As far as the world was concerned, he had everything. As far as the world was concerned, he had done it right. As far as the world was concerned, he was one, Jesse, that you would look up to. Ain't nobody wanting to be Lazarus.
Amen.
Ain't nobody wanting to be Lazarus. Ain't nobody wanting to go through the pain that Lazarus did. Ain't nobody wanting to be rejected like Lazarus was rejected. Everybody would have chosen the rich man if we didn't know the end of the story. Come on, y'all, help me. We would have chosen the rich man if we didn't know the end of the story. Let's just be honest about it. We don't have prayers that say, God, please let me be thrown by a gate, rejected by the whole world, and just left for nothing over there on the side of the road, begging for a crumb. That is never a prayer. That's never a prayer that we have for our children. There's not one time that I've ever said, Lord, I sure wish you'd let Dalton be broke. Not one time. Matter of fact, that ugly boy come up there and told me he wanted to marry my daughter. I said, boy, how you going to take care of her? I need somebody to help me. He said, Brother Robbie, I'd like to marry KK. My first thing out of my mouth, how you going to take care of my daughter? Oh, hey, love ain't, I need a daddy to help me. Love ain't going to pay the bills.
That's right.
Love ain't going to feed them.
Amen.
First thing out of my mouth, Brother Herman, how you going to take care of my daughter?
Right.
You can't give me a good answer. How you going to take care of my daughter? I'm not giving you my daughter's hand.
Right.
Preacher, now that ain't up to you. I beg to differ. I got several guns that say it is up to me. Hallelujah. Y'all don't like it, you ain't got to. I told Jeff, as sure as the world, I told him he's sitting right there. My wife would tell you I'm telling the truth. I said, son, I don't want to go to prison. He said, I don't want to die. I said, we understand one another. I literally, that's what I told the boy. Bless his heart. He thought this was going to be a bonding time between us. It wasn't. I'm like, dude, I will kill you. Do you understand? Yes, sir, I understand. I said, good. I mean, Lord, you got it done. We good. Because my prayer has never been that my daughter would be rejected and thrown by the side of the road, not fed, not taken care of.
That's right. Amen.
In our mind, this guy had it all. Never wanted, never hungry, fared sumptuously every day. I noticed this about the man too. Man, this was cool. Everybody read me? I noticed not only this man's riches, but I noticed his religion. Ooh. Now see, you ain't, how many of y'all has ever seen this man's religion? I told y'all to pay attention. I'd show y'all something, all right? When he called out to Father Abraham, how did Father Abraham respond to him? What did he call him? Go look in the scripture. What did he call him? Right there in your scripture. What did he call him? Who? Say it louder. You mean Father Abraham called this man son. Did y'all hear that? That's somehow he had ties to Judaism. He was a Jew, no doubt, but he's called a son by Father Abraham, which tells us that he had some religion. Come on, y'all. Are y'all seeing it? It tells us he had some religion, Frank.
That's right.
He had something. For Father Abraham to call him son, he had something. He had a religious background. Like many people that sit in the church today, full of riches and full of religion.
Amen.
They know when to come to church. They know how to come to church. They know when to say amen. They know, I need somebody to help me. He was a religious man. That doesn't look that way because he didn't take care of his neighbor, but we know they wasn't real good at taking care of neighbors back then anyhow.
That's right.
Right? So here he is, Brother Herman. Rich. Seemed to have it all together. Had his religion. But we look at his life. And his reality. His reality. Was that when he died. He didn't get carried up into no.
Amen.
No angels came. To usher him in. No angels came. To put their arms around him. And carry. Listen, everybody with me. We all right. And nobody came to comfort him. Bible says that when this man died, his reality was hell.
That's right.
No purgatory. No time of confession. No deathbed experience. No deathbed. No deathbed salvation. He died, and the Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. His reality was that his eternity was now. And his eternity carried on for forever.
That's right.
In torments. Absent from the presence of God.
That's right.
Tormented by the flame. Is everybody read me?
Amen.
A tale of two men. One was rejected, but he had a good reputation. And he was received. One had plenty of riches. He had religion. But his reality was hell. What was the difference between the two men? I'm done. A relationship. A relationship. Stay with me. Y'all don't want to miss this. I told you. This wasn't a parable.
That's right.
Right? Did I tell you?
Yep.
Why did I tell you it wasn't a parable? Because names was given.
Right.
But Frank, not all Not all names was given. Lazarus' name was there. We know Lazarus. Come on, I need somebody to help me. He knew Lazarus. Rich man knew Lazarus. Abraham knew Lazarus. Is everybody all right? He knew him. He had a relationship. And so Jesus, telling us the story, tells us his name. Say, well, what's the name of the rich man? You know, tradition says it's all this. I can't remember. It starts with a D. But this is better than that. Is everybody with me?
That's right. Come on.
So don't even worry about what tradition says. Lazarus was named. Jesus knew who Lazarus was.
That's right.
But he called him a certain rich man. Michelle, go to Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 21. Matthew chapter 7, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. He was religious. He was religious.
That's right.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Go to verse number 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse number 23, check this out. And then I will profess unto them. Help me. Say it again.
I never knew you.
Say it again.
I never knew you.
Do it one more time.
I never knew you.
Let it sink in. Let it sink in. The reason Jesus didn't name the certain rich man.
He never knew.
He had everything here. He had religion.
That's right.
But the reality was he didn't have a relationship. And at the end of all this thing, when you're standing before God, everybody look at me. I'm a member of Calvary Baptist Church. I ain't getting you in.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I sat up under Brother Robbie's teaching. Ain't getting you in. My mama was saved. Ain't getting you in. My daddy was saved. Ain't getting you in. My grandma used to pray for me. Mm-mm. It don't matter. What? You mean grandma's prayers? Grandma prayed for me every night. If you lived a life like mine, everybody in town was praying for you every night.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That was good, wasn't it? That was good, wasn't it?
That was good.
Hey, ain't gonna get you in. Ain't gonna get you in. So on Father's Day, which man are you? Say, preacher, I ain't got much to offer. I understand. Maybe we more like Lazarus than we think.
That's right. Come on.
Rejected, thrown aside, not much to offer. But Lazarus was whom God helped.
That's right.
So the question, this is for everybody, even the religious folks that come here every Sunday.
That's right.
Do you have a relationship?
Amen.
I expected Lazarus to die in the condition that he was in. I expected Lazarus to die. Come on, help me. Rejected, discarded, out in the rain, out in the elements. Right? No food. Brother Ronald apparently had nothing, begging just for a crumb. No food. Right? I expected him to die. But the Bible tells us that when he died, the rich man also died. You would have thought he had had Dalton the finest medical team that you could get.
That's right.
I mean, Jesse, they could have prolonged his life. He could have thrown enough money. Is everybody with me? My point that I'm trying to make is that you don't get to determine when your time is.
That's right. Come on.
So before you leave out of here today saying I'll get it right next time, before you leave out of here today saying I'm better off than somebody else health-wise and I'll probably make it longer, I'll have more opportunities, listen to me. The Bible says the rich man also died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. We all have a death date.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something. I need everybody to hear me right here. You can put 150,000 vaccines in your body, but when God says it's your time, it's your time. You can barricade yourself in the bottom of a pit, man. You can do all that, but when God says it's your time, question this morning, do you have a relationship? Heads bowed with me. No playing around. I pray I've shown you that this man had some religion to him. But he didn't have a relationship. What that means in our world today is that many people, how does this relate? Preacher, how is this relevant to our day and time? Because there's many people that's coming into the church and they got a grasp on being a Baptist, or they got a grasp on being a Church of God, they got a grasp on being Church of Christ or whatever. They've grabbed at every straw. Got a works-based salvation. They feel like if they do more, that God is going to accept them. They're working and they're working and they're working and they're trying. They're doing their best to have God approve of them. By the world, they're called son or brother, just as this man, certain rich man, was called a son by Abram. But these two men were far different. One had a relationship. And that relationship carried him to a pleasant place. Carried by the angels of God. That other man, his reality was an eternity of torments. So this morning, my question isn't, are you a member of so-and-so church? My question isn't, have you been going to church all your life? My question isn't, if you said some prayer. My question isn't, if you attended some religious activity. My question is, do you have a relationship? If you're in this building this morning, you say, preacher, I don't have a relationship. If I died right now, preacher, I'd probably end up like that rich man. To be honest, preacher, I really don't know how I'd end up. If that's you this morning, I want you to just lift your hand up. Nobody's looking around. You keep your heads bowed. Just lift your hand up high enough for me to see it so I know how to end the service. Preacher, I don't know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die right now. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you to just lift your hand right up. I see that hand. You can put it down. Who else? Be honest with me. Preacher, I played religion my whole life. But I don't have a relationship. Anybody else like that? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm thankful for this place, Lord. Thankful for my salvation. Lord, I pray conviction of the Holy Spirit be on those who are lost. There's a lot of people in our day and time claiming salvation but living nowhere even close to it. Living a life ruled by their flesh, not a life of the Spirit, and claiming the Holy Spirit lives inside of them. God, help us to open our eyes on this side of the dirt before we end up like the rich man opening up our eyes in hell. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name we'd recognize there's a need for a relationship. Lord, there's been one this morning that's raised their hand for salvation. Raised their hand and said that they didn't know where they'd spend their eternity. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to move in their hearts. Lord, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Head still bow with me. If you raised your hand, I'm pleading with you. Come right where I'm at. Let me get somebody to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Because the alternative is not worth it. Life is not guaranteed to one of us. But salvation is as simple as a relationship. God desires to have that with you. If you'll let me this morning, we'll get somebody to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. You can lay your head down on a pillow tonight knowing where you spend eternity. If you'll let us do that, I want you to get up out of your seat and come right where I'm at. All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I thank you for loving us. Lord, I thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for the fathers that are represented, Lord, in this building. Thank you for the relationships, Lord, not only with their children, but the relationships that fathers have with each other here in this place. God, as we celebrate Father's Day, Lord, as we, Lord, are reminded of the investment that somebody made into our lives, Lord, I pray today we'd pray that every father, every son, every child will be born again. Lord, we don't pray for salvations anymore. We get selfish often and pray for our own needs and our own wants and neglect the greatest need of this world. And that's salvation and a relationship with you. Lord, I love you. I thank you once again for this place. I ask you to do a great work in the 11 o'clock service. Thank you for what you've done here this morning in the 9. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.